The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. And as usual, I would invite you to take the sermon outline out from the bulletin. And looking at the second lesson primarily this morning, and verse 5, "For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And everyone said,
Amen.
As I was growing up, my father was fond of quoting 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, usually in the context of trying to rouse me out of the bed in the morning. "Rise and shine, Timothy. We are children of the light, children of the day. We do not belong to the darkness or to the night." Those words, applied in very literal fashion, were not always welcome, because as typical among youths, I was all for staying up just as late as I could at night. Elise, is that true? And Jed, at your age? What's the fascination as you get older with staying up? But I can relate. And then sleeping in the morning as long as I could get away with it. But I couldn't get away with it very long with my dad, who was a morning person. How could I have ever known that I would end up in a few short years being a morning person myself? This text will always be embedded, so I'm thankful. But whether we have to take it literal or not, it's well embedded in my mind, so it's with great delight. And what I'd like to do here late in the season of Pentecost is work our way through a verse or two at a time, so you can take a look at it with the outline as I have the lesson printed there. And I want to start in verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you." Why does Paul say that? Because evidently everybody was well aware of the clear words from our Lord Jesus Christ himself. For instance, before Jesus was crucified, in Matthew 24, he said, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." And if that weren't enough, after his death and resurrection, but just before his ascension, he says in Acts chapter 1:7, Jesus to his disciples, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." By the way, this very clear indication doesn't stop people from writing books to try to pinpoint, if not the day and the hour, at least the season, right? "Pastor, what do you think of this book? I just came across it. It's so convincing." Yeah, they're not pinpointing the exact date, but they're talking about all kinds of reasons why we're living easily within the generation that the Lord will return. I hope I'm not overly flippant. Can I ever be overly flippant? Throw that book away. Get rid of it. Paul says, "I have no need to write you." You remember Jesus' words himself. It's not for us to know the times and the seasons. Verse 2. "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." It might be good to get some clarification just to make sure we all know what's being spoken of here when we talk about the day of the Lord. Every Sunday we confess what this is about when we say he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Another way of putting that is we look forward to Jesus' promised return at the end of the age. Well, Christ will come this time in all his resplendent glory. The closest that anybody came to that in Jesus' ministry was not even in his resurrection, because he's toned down as he appears, although it's already amazing he could suddenly appear in what had been closed and in a locked room. But the closest was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and it just overwhelmed Peter, James, and John, where Jesus' face shone like the sun and his clothes were radiantly white. So the day of the Lord is when he returns at the end of the age in all his resplendent glory, where he will vindicate those who belong to him, and he will judge the world in righteousness. There's a lot of other things we can say, but I hope you're clear what it is when we're talking about the day of the Lord. And Paul says, that day will come like a thief in the night. Does that sound very warm and cozy? I mean, you don't want a thief showing up. You take some precautions, you have security, you lock doors and everything. Thief comes in order to steal. And in this case, scripturally, there's going to be a lot stolen, but the devil would seek to destroy and to kill us. What is it in John's gospel? The thief comes to steal, to destroy, and to kill, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. But I want to say, if we stopped right here, would we get the idea that we all have to be worried about this day being like a thief? But it'll be real clear as we work our way through this, if we're prepared, it will not be like a thief. It'll be a surprise, no one knows, but the surprise won't be the unpleasant surprise of having an unguarded situation and having had the thief come at an unexpected hour. You with me? Paul says, while people in verse 3 are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. I don't think there's enough fear of God and the coming judgment. I don't know the best ways to share Christ with other people, but I know my job as a servant of God's word is to be sure that I preach the judgment of God that is sure. And it's attendant to what Jesus said himself. He will come again, and we confess it, like I said earlier, to judge the living and the dead. If we don't believe in that, and a lot of people don't, Jesus lived some 2,000 years ago. Where's his coming? If we don't live like that, or even the shortness of our own life, did you pick it up in Psalm 90? Give us a heart of wisdom, so teach us to number our days. It isn't just a concern when the Lord is going to return and come in judgment, but when our time's up, where we still have salvation available to us, there's always an urgency with the matter. Can I hear amen to that?
Amen.
I know I've said this before. I do have a Baptist background. But I love the fact that Luther explains in the Catechism and the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, what does amen mean? And of course, amen, amen, we usually see that translated in most of our English translations, truly, truly. But you have the amen, amen that goes with that. What in the world was that? The amen, amen with that. Yes, it shall be so. And so it's a Lutheran thing too. It's a wonderful thing. I'll pick up on everything that's biblical that is said. I got to get my mind back where it's at. The judgment. But people act like it's never going to occur. And in the preaching of the gospel today, and here I mean gospel, the full sense, both law and gospel, unfortunately, we don't preach the judgment of God, even as it's unfolding, and all the events that happen in the brokenness of this world because of sinful rebellion. It's all a part of God's wrath. Even our death will still be a result of sin. Howbeit, the wonderful gospel that if our death is joined with Jesus' death in baptism and living in his faith, that as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Because if we share in a death like his, we will certainly also look forward to sharing in a resurrection like his. Doesn't get any better than that. But even our death as Christians is still going to be a sign of God's judgment because of our sin. Howbeit, now joined to Christ, he overcomes death. And so we can look to that victory and share it in Christ. But people will say, where does that come? But it'll most certainly come. If I could use this expression as a male, a pregnant woman early on may be feeling just fine, but her pregnancy is going to end up in labor pain somewhere along the line. When we were in birthing class together with our first one, they really tried to emphasize with the proper breathing techniques and a good team effort and everything, don't call it pain, it's just labor. What's your verdict, sweetie, hon? Yeah, just labor, is it? You know? You can't believe how painful it was for me. No. At any rate, where can I have lunch today? It's surely going to happen, even if it appears that it will not happen. Let's go to verse 4. But by the way, let me say this first. This whole idea of coming as a thief in the night, Jesus had said that too. Look at Matthew 24:43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not let his house be broken into. But I wanted to start out by saying, it doesn't have to be like a thief in the night if we're prepared. In fact, is it something we can very much look forward to if we're looking forward to that coming and the hope that applies to it to repentant sinners. And Paul starts to say that in verse 4, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. It'll be a surprise, but if we're not in darkness, It will not be a surprise as a thief. It'll be a surprise in somebody we've longed to see, and finally that long-awaited company arrives, and we get to be with that person. We continue on in verse 5. My dad's fond verse to quote to us, "For you are all children of light," and I'm speaking to baptized believers in this room, "For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or the darkness." Let me take a couple more verses, 6 and 7. "So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." Wish I'd known more in junior high and high school. Could have said something like, "Oh, Dad, just don't take that so literal." Although I would argue with good parenting that not a lot of good comes through the night hours in general. There's a lot more evil that happens under the cloak of darkness, right? More crimes get committed. The murder rate goes up at night. Doesn't necessarily have to. People feel like they can get away a little bit more. And there's something to the fact, what do you think God gave us daytime and nighttime for? In the light of the sun, you can see and you can get more work accomplished, and it's harder to get away with evil because things are more exposed, right? So there's certainly that. But would that I have said, "Dad, I don't think that's primarily what Paul's getting at." I think he's talking instead that children of the day are people that live in the light, not of the sun, S-U-N, but of the sun, S-O-N. Living in the light of the one who said, "I am the light of the world," our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the light of his word. Some of you will know the psalm, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Or the illustration in Peter's epistle, it is Second Peter 1:19, where he describes that we have this lamp, this prophetic word, as a lamp shining in a dark place until the light of the new day, until the morning star, an allusion to Christ, rises in your heart. So to be children of light and of the day is the gift of baptism, the gift of faith, which was called in the early church enlightenment, and to continue to walk in the faith and being joined to Christ of his word. That is what it is to be children of light and children of the day. And conversely, night, think of that, and darkness, to be primarily, if I could give it a brief definition, it is to live in impenitence, the refusal to repent, and in unbelief. Let me say something briefly about unbelief. Unbelief is not simply that you don't trust in anything at all. It's unbelief in trusting in Christ. We all lean on something. Sometimes it's our own wisdom. Sometimes it's what we think is our charm or our abilities or our income or any number of things or a lot of the false hopes and everything. But unbelief is the refusal to put trust in Christ. So darkness is when we live in an unrepentant state and an unbelief or false belief. And I think the two really go. And it results in all kinds of works of darkness. I think I have an example in Romans 13. You can look at it. And you could have an endless description, but I think we get some idea of what darkness ends up looking like. But at its source, it's unbelief, false belief, and an impenitent heart. Until we have been graced with the new birth and the gift of faith, we all are in darkness. But there's a danger, or Paul wouldn't be writing this way, that we can receive a wonderful gift, but neglect and drift away from it, and become impenitent, and start to put false belief. And so there's a warning, and we talked about that last week a little bit, that we can end up neglecting such a great gift, and the gift that God has through his means of grace, through word and sacrament, to sustain that wonderful gift given to us in our baptism. That is to start to be in darkness and to belong to the night. So let's go to verse 8. And unlike our gospel lesson where, you notice, I hold the Bible up and I say, the gospel of the Lord, and there was good news, trust me. But at the very end couple verses, we're really pretty sober and hitting hard, and then you stand up, the good news of our Lord, you know. And Jesus, I said last week, you want to talk about who has some of the strongest words of judgment? Jesus, it's hard to beat him. The Old Testament prophets have nothing on the word incarnate and what he could speak. But this gets pretty upbeat, and we're trying to deal with it all. But we see in verse, but since we belong to the day, and I believe we do, but since we belong to the day, you know, stay sober. Be serious about things. Don't be vacillating all over the place. Be temperate and moderate in all kinds of things. Don't just think in terms of the intoxicant of alcohol that's involved, but this sobriety here is also figurative, and it has to do with a certain rectitude, a certain seriousness, a certain urgency about things, a certain temperance and moderation in life, right? Let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Isn't God wonderful? He sustains us in this evil and dark age by the light of his word and the light himself. But then he starts to talk about the equipping in militaristic terms. Some people don't like that. Well, tough. We're in a battle whether we like it or not, and the stakes are stark. We're to fight the good fight of faith, and we have been equipped in every way. Sometimes, and it's not without fruit, to dig into what are some of the descriptions of equipment. And here we have a breastplate of faith and love, and we have a helmet of the hope of salvation. Just two pieces here. That's well and good. Doesn't this remind you a little bit when Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and he identifies more pieces of equipment? And they're very similar, a breastplate of faith, a helmet of salvation, shoe shot, the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, and with a bunch of different things, the shield of faith, and so on and so forth. It can be fruitful to look at individual pieces, but the whole point is to be in the strength of the Lord. To be walking in the light of his word is to be fully equipped in every way in this evil age. But we need to take and don and put on and use the equipment given and let it be sustained. And that's what the Apostle Paul's saying, but in a very hopeful thing. And then we get to verse 9, and here's the gospel put briefly here. For God has not destined us for wrath. Can you hear that? God does not intend that you experience his ultimate wrath. God has not destined you for it. That's not his desire. His desire, even for those who are currently wicked, and we all have sin, right? But I mean, the wicked that are still totally in darkness, is that the wicked not perish, but that they turn from their sin. That's his intention for us. You need to know that. You need to hear that. Don't. The devil will lie about that. No one's beyond that's still alive and breathing to know what God intends. But he has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. On what basis? We have it in verse 10. Who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. We were just told that we need to stay awake. Well, you know, these words get used in a lot of senses. Whatever it means to be awake spiritually doesn't mean that we don't go to sleep at night. Physically, we need to. Or it doesn't mean that we will die at some point in every generation and await his return at the end of the age. And that's the way it's been used. So whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. And then I like the way this thing ends here. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing, just as we are doing this morning. I love this scripture verse, and I have it printed in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. You didn't neglect meeting together. Those who are tuned in now or later have not neglected to meet together. Oh, I can't wait till we can meet together all in person. But we're meeting together in every way that we can. Don't neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some. The danger always of neglect and drifting away, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Last Sunday, if you'll remember, in the parable of the 10 virgins, we had something a little shocking. Remember, the foolish ones didn't have flasks of oil, and their lamps ran out when finally the delayed coming of the bridegroom came. And they scurried about as their lamps were smoldering, and the 5 wise had taken oil. You remember this just from last week? And they beg from the wise ones, give us some of the oil, you know, because ours are going out. And they said, no, there's not enough for both of us. You need to go to the market. You've been foolish. And I said, the point of that parable wasn't whether we should share or not. We know we're supposed to share in things. And it's just a parable. But the truth of the matter is, we can't be somebody's faith for them. We can't give somebody our personal faith. Each one must have the gift of enlightenment in baptism and exercise their own faith. And the oil, I said last week, is God's gifts to sustain that gift of faith through his means of grace. And I talked about word and sacrament. And we can't do that for somebody else. Each person must have that enlightenment and exercise that faith for themselves. Okay, that's true. But I love the wonderful role that we can play to help one another, to encourage one another. Remember that wonderful gift you're given. Don't neglect it. Make sure you're reading at home. How are you doing with your daily reading? We got a guide for the whole congregation. Let's talk about it a little bit. If you got your own reading plan, have you been making it to the service? Or have you been tuning in? I know it's going to improve. It's going to improve maybe next week. But I think my mom says you got, I don't know about the singing, Tim. When you sing, you might want to mute your microphone and everything. You got a good speaking voice. I can hear your words. So I think it can be heard, and we got the thing audibly too. And avail ourselves of the means of grace through the visible word, that we get to chew on and to swallow God's promises as Jesus comes body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion. We can encourage one another to have flasks of oil to continue. And that is a great role that we can play. We can encourage one another to live in the light of God's word, and therefore to be children of light indeed. Children of the day. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, Amen. Please rise, hymn number 405.